Operate, and they're now going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. So I'd like everyone to stand, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is our high school representative here? Oh, yes. Please come on down.
So, good evening. I'm Rhea Bindra, and I'm back with your high school updates. We're very excited about homecoming on October 15th. Join us for our football game versus Valley Stream Central at 2 p.m. and the halftime show where this year's homecoming king and queen will be announced. The guidance department is hosting a college interview workshop on October 21st during 10th period in the library. This workshop will feature a UPenn Wharton School alumni. Students have found this event very helpful in the past. We're very excited for auditions for this fall play Dracula to start October 6th. We've also been getting visits from college representatives, and they've been helping students start the application process and see if their school is a good fit for them. Having been to a few of these meetings myself, I found them extremely helpful with the reps giving you a good view of what the school is like and what's required to apply. It's with great pleasure that we announce four academically talented seniors have qualified as semifinalists for the 2017 National Merit Scholarship Competition: Talia Blum, Philip Danziger, Max Custer, and Gina Yam. Additionally, another 10 amazing students were named commended students in the 2017 National Merit Scholarship Program. Congratulations to Alec Ash, David Chang, Joanna Chang, Jason Getzler, Daniel Gula, Brent Hong, Susan Wu Kang, Paul Lee, Maxwell Schulman, and Casey Urban. As a friendly reminder, parents and students can keep checking the website, the Remind app, and the TV screens in the main lobby for the announcements. That's all. Have a great night.
Thank you very much. Is our middle school representative here? Okay. Then we're going to go on to board announcements. Any board announcements? Jody?
We are in the midst of planning a legislative forum, which will be held on October 27th at the POB Middle School Auditorium. And the purpose of this is for the community to get to know the candidates who are running in Congressional District 3, Senate Districts 5 and 6, since Plainview Old Bethpage does span the two, Assembly District 13 and Assembly District 13 and Nassau Legislative District 16. So far, three confirmed so far. We're going to start sending some information, some flyers out for the PTAs to distribute. There'll be information on the web, and we will keep everybody updated as the various candidates RSVP and let us know that they are attending.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Superintendent's announcements.
I love it that the high school stole my line. That's great. So I want to congratulate those young people for an outstanding accomplishment. I'm going to go straight into the college course data. These questions came up at the last board meeting, and as the board has instructed me to do, when there are questions that come up, if I can respond at the next board meeting. And so what we did, Mrs. Girash and Lori Lynn quite a few people pitched in to put the data together, and I believe it's done in a way that answers the question and even more. So the question was around the numbers of seniors who graduated with AP, with at least one AP, questions about AP Calc, Super Calculus. So we put it all in one place. How many kids had credit for that? I see it up, but I don't see it up. I see it on the screen. As I see it in the mirror. Okay, it's coming up.
Bless you. Bless you.
It's coming up. So the question was around supercalculus, which was a new course that was offered last year as an alternative to AP calculus. It is offered by Syracuse University, and it's taken for Syracuse credit. And the question was, are other universities willing to accept those credits? And how did the kids do? So that I think this slide answers that. Most of the children, most of the students earned, 20% of the students earned grades less than 81. That means 80% earned 81 to 100. We had students who were able to transfer their Syracuse credits to the universities that are appearing below. And for the record, Adelphi University, Binghamton University, Bucknell, CUNY, Elon, Indiana, Ithaca, Manhattan, SUNY Albany, SUNY Buffalo, SUNY Cortland, SUNY Newport, SUNY Stony Brook, of course Syracuse because it's their own credit, Ohio State, Tulane, University of Delaware, University of Maryland, University of Massachusetts, University of Rhode Island, University of Wisconsin, and University of Georgia. That's a lot of universities that are highly attended by our students. The next slide, please. And the question also was about the other courses, the world language. These are the numbers that were enrolled, those who got credit, and the numbers who paid. This one, you have the option of not taking it for credit. For business, we had, again, some courses that were taken for credit. The numbers appear there. And I think there's a handout so for the audience if anybody wants to see those. And college statistics. So these are college courses that are not AP courses, but they're taken for college credit if one wants to. And if they didn't pay for the credit, then they didn't get the credit. Next slide, please. Then I wish, well, the person who asked the question is not here, but it's on the record and they can listen to what I'm saying. Because this is taped. But what we have here is exactly what was asked, which is how did the kids do in levels 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 for each of the courses that were offered as AP courses. So if you're in an AP course, you're expected to take the exam, and this is how we did. And I always find this chart very busy, but the next slide sort of explains those who got 3, 4, or 5, that's the percentage of students who earned 3, 4s, and 5s. And clearly when you present it this way, you can see where we have to focus some of our energies. You know, it might be that we need to look at the curriculum, do some alignment. We might have a new teacher teaching the course, getting used to the course. But that's the percent passing, which is 3, 4, and 5. You may get credit for a 3. Most schools give credit for 4 and 5. Next. I think that's it.
That's one.
Yeah. So this was the other question that was asked of the cohort that's for the graduating class. How many kids actually took the 1 or more AP classes? There's some kids who took several, but 1 or more. So if you took one course, this is pretty high cohort numbers. You can see that the focus has been to expose more children. By the way, the research shows that exposure to one AP course, studying at the college level, is highly related to success in college. Very highly related. Studying at a college level course before entering high school, there's a discipline that's attached to it that carries over for college. It's one of the single factors for success. And you can see that our participation rate is 73% of our graduating class. That's almost equivalent to our advanced Regents diploma. By the way, those two are very highly correlated also. When you do an advanced Regents diploma, you generally tend to complete it by your junior year and therefore are likely to take one AP course before graduating. So that's what we aim for. Thank you. I think that's it. Thank you.
Questions? Susan?
So I agree 100% with the experience of taking either a dual enrollment, which would be a university class at a high school, or an AP, because I think the experience of learning time management, reading outside the class, is invaluable, especially your senior year of high school. I just have some questions regarding, I know, regarding cost. The total cost of a senior year can be quite pricey. I know it's put into our course curriculum in the very beginning of our of the course curriculum guide what the credits are, but usually the process that happens in guidance is between January and February, students would sit with their guidance counselor. They pick their courses based on where they're going and plans, rigor, etc. And then that comes home. Parents are not involved in this. This is you know, because they're young adults. And then parents sign off on it. They probably do not look to see. They see college course. I don't know if they assume that there is a fee or not. I can't get into anyone's mind. APs are generally run $92 to $136. But I was looking at the college accounting for 6 credits is $840. So you're talking about $140 per credit plus an enrollment fee, plus then you have to pay a transfer fee. And then back to school, teachers will discuss the process of buying certain classes. Certain colleges allow us to not buy the credits. Certain colleges is more mandatory that we do buy the credits.
Mm-hmm. Meaning that the kids have to sit for the exam.
Right. Well, they have to pay for the class.
Right.
Okay. So if you just take your senior year, 3 college classes, it could be about $2,050.
Still a great bargain for a college credit.
But I think that needs to be disclosed a little earlier in the process, maybe not mm-hmm. in October, but when you, as a parent, get that sheet, maybe just, this will run the family.
The sheet that comes home.
In January.
That the parent is signing off on for the following year.
Maybe we have to highlight it or bold it mm-hmm. right up front.
That these 3 courses will cost your family this, that, and the other thing. Also, dual enrollment classes, I have found out, are eligible for 529 savings account. Since you pay it directly to the university, you can use your funds in that from your New York State 529, which should be disclosed to families also, so that you know it's for a college credit. So that should be.
So you're asking for an earlier and better communication
with family. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, I believe in the experience. Not all these credits will be used to your core credits or to an earlier graduation.
Absolutely.
But will be transferable. The experience is worth every penny of it. But I think families shouldn't have a sticker shock reaction in October.
October surprises.
Yes, exactly.
Good. Well, yeah. Communicate
And I thank you for the it was a quite comprehensive.
Thank you.
Thank
Great.
You.
They worked hard on it, so yeah. I'm glad you recognize that.
Thank everyone who worked so hard on that. But I think that mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, we're going to now go on to reports.
What? Board goals.
Yeah, to reports and discussions. We're going to begin with board goals.
Oh. I'm jumping ahead. You almost got fired. There goes your raise.
The last time we discussed board goals were not at the last meeting, but the meeting before. And since then, we've met with various groups who provided some input. And are we going to show what our goals are? Okay, great.
And
They're hard copies.
Terrific. And we try to incorporate some of the suggestions after our discussions. So how are we going to do this? Do you want to go through each, or does each just speak for itself? And Does anybody have any comments or questions?
We've gone through
or
them individually before.
Right.
And we
right.
streamlined them. I think that that's.
And that's really what we tried to do. Seth tried to suggest this for the past couple of years, and we've streamlined our goals, and we think that it'll be easier to focus on our goals by the streamlining process. So, is there anybody who has any suggestions, or are we all happy with this? And I believe later under new business, we will adopt our goals.
No, I just want to comment on how we really took something and we decided this year we weren't going to have a trilogy and have 12 pages. With such finite type of stuff, you really couldn't achieve the goals. And I think that this gives latitude to the building administrators, the chairs, and everybody else to be able to work with the staff on the things that are important and to have that creativity coming from within to get them done. And I really just want to say for everybody who really took the time to help us and critique it, it really did.
I think we all feel that way.
It's really, yeah. really good.
Great. Okay. Well, that is our...
Done.
Goal discussion.
Oh.
Okay. we are going to go on to the bond capital projects update.
Because Jill's not
me
here.
Too.
Where is
Okay, as usual, I'll try and keep this brief, but there is a lot going on, and I think you'll get a sense of that in this presentation. First, since the last meeting, the district did go out for a $17 million bond anticipation note, or BAN, as they're called, to borrow money for projects that have either been completed, projects that are in progress, or projects that are approved but not yet started. By the borrowing regulations, we can only borrow for projects that have been approved by New York State facilities planning. And what we've been doing is using our cash flow to really pay for our projects, and now we reached a time in our cash flow where we essentially had to pay the district bank accounts back. And so that's what we did. It's a rather lengthy process involving bond counsel of Hawkins, Delafield, and Wood, fiscal advisor at Munistat, and the borrowing, the $17 million, goes out to competitive bidding, and there were three bidders. Now, during this process, they also go through our credit rating, and through the process, our AAA credit rating was reaffirmed, but also Jefferies, the winning bidder, requested that we get a Standards & Poor's short-term debt rating. And Standards & Poor's set our short-term credit rating at its highest, A1+, that it can assign to a public entity. So we're very proud about that. And what that really does is show that we're a very good fiscal entity to set up the borrowing with, and it drives down our interest costs. So on the $17 million borrowing, our net interest cost is a shade over 1.01%, 1.02%. Or to put it another way, in order to borrow $17 million, we are paying a little over $173,000 in interest. So we really are leveraging the fiscal stability of the school district with that, and I think it's something we should all be very proud of. It certainly doesn't happen in 1 year, so the board's guidance in this this area has really put us in a good position. Do you have any questions about the ban? Okay, so I thought I'd set up a short list giving you an idea of where we are in the bond project. So these are not capital reserve or interfund transfer projects. These are strictly bond. And we try to kind of compile the list into groups and do it by school. So projects completed and underway. Of course, going back two summers ago, we had a lot of floor work in the high school. We constructed new tennis courts at POB Middle School. We're mobilizing for the window replacement project, so soon you'll start seeing storage units and things like that showing up. After hours, we do have some consultants looking at the structure so that the people who are going to come in and remove the windows have a better idea of what they're dealing with, so it works well. We replaced the flooring in the hallways and the classrooms there. We replaced a baseball backstop through the bond at Matlin. We completed a roof rehabilitation, did floor tile work here, installed six tennis courts. Of course, the windows at Pasadena and Parkway are underway. As I wrote this last week, we're about 85% complete. I believe we had a bunch of doors go in our buildings, particularly at Parkway. I didn't get a chance to look at Pasadena, but we were working through the weekend. A lot of floor tile replacement, pipe tunnel abatement in Old Bethpage, which isn't something that you can see, but is very important to us. A lot of roofing we've done. We have started doing some asphalt repair through the bond. Stratford Road baseball field update and Jamaica Avenue partial window replacement. You'll see their storage units are behind Jamaica. There's actually been some work there, some abatement work, pre-abatement work that was done late in August. So we're already moving on that. We already have the windows, and we're just phasing in a time to do that with the crews as they start disengaging from Parkway and Pasadena. Projects approved but not yet started. Parkway roof recoating is approved, but we're waiting until the warranty expires. No reason to do that before the warranty expires on the old roof. Parkway and Pasadena interior doors, along with interior doors at many other schools. Nassau-Bosie's just awarded a door bid. We had our first vendor meeting about a week and a half ago, so we're identifying the units things like that, and coming up with the agreement in terms of exactly what hardware is going to go where, which lock sets. All of those things take place before the installation. They need to know how the doors are supposed to be keyed and everything like that. So when the work starts, people leave their classroom or office on one day, they'll come back the next day, there's a new door frame with a new door, with a new lock set, and a key that will open it. So we don't put the old lock on a new door or anything like that. So there's a lot of pre-planning that goes on with this, and all of that work will be done after hours and basically won't be seen by anybody. And then we have the list of projects up at facilities planning that we're waiting for approval. And the waiting is the hardest part because we don't know when it's going to come. They don't give us an indication when they're going to approve these projects. And really what we do every morning is come in and see if they updated the list on the website. So we know, can we now go ahead and start putting up a bid packet? So security upgrades are waiting. Middle school science labs, air conditioning, large-scale air conditioning projects in many locations, replacing fire alarms or updating fire alarms, constructing new classrooms, replacing the lighting in many locations, ceiling tile replacement. And also some masonry work at schools are up there waiting. And as the weeks go by, we're adding more projects up to that list. Then lastly, projects not yet submitted but are on drawing boards at some extent to another, additional air conditioning projects, some other things that are kind of behind the scenes, roof vents, chimney caps, locker room, floor drain replacement, and things like that, energy management systems, bathroom hardware. We're putting the finishing touches on the reconstruction plans for three art rooms here at Matlin, and some other masonry upgrades and PA system upgrades. So we're moving along. A lot of work has been done and a lot more to be done in the future. And with that, I wonder if you have any questions.
I think we don't.
Okay.
Oh, Lauren does.
Mm-hmm.
The AC, am I reading this right? Hold on, I just wanted to double check something. The AC in the elementary school, I might have just flipped through fast. I did. Okay, so now I have a different question. The tennis courts at Matlin, I had when we did the walkthrough,
mm-hmm.
I had asked Mr. Ward about the singles court.
Right.
He was going to look into the original measuring of and to see if it was really measured correctly,
mm-hmm.
if it was an error of our architects, if it was a measure of building that singles court. Do we have an answer on that?
I'm sorry. I thought we did answer that. They measured, and with the space that was there,
mm-hmm.
They did not believe they could fit a doubles court in there. And BBS has been back. The actual designer of that court has been back and walked it, and they still would not recommend relining that area to put in a doubles court.
There really such a thing as a singles court? So I'm wondering if there's something we can do at that area, because I don't know if it's really being used to the benefit of the kids.
I'd be happy to get some suggestions from you. We do have limited space. There's only so close we can go to the road. We also have the baseball field on the other side,
right.
And we have a resident neighbor on the back end of the court. So we kind of, and also there are things running around the perimeter in terms of water, sewer lines or electrical that runs through the Matlin Middle School and up to the high school, actually comes into the property there. So there's some underground things they're working through as well. So if we were to reline something,
mm-hmm.
it would have to be on the existing base we have there. We can't expand the footprint of the courts.
So when it was initially measured, I mean, this is before I got on the board, but it was initially measured, was it initially measured for an additional court? Full court?
It was built as to the design. That's how they designed
court.
It.
With a singles court? Because I personally have never seen a singles court before. I mean, I don't think singles courts really, truly exist.
Okay, so it was built as per its design. So that's
for as its design.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the old Beth Page roof. This is a new roof that we're putting on. It's the foam roof, right?
Yes. So it's a recoating, basically.
And what's the warranty? 10 years?
15 years.
15 years, because mm-hmm. for some reason that building's had a lot of trouble with, you know, the roofing over the years. We're thinking, I think it's because it's a flat roof. I mean, they all have flat roofs.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no pitch to them. I just wanted to make sure. And the warranty at Parkway, when that's over, we're going to use the same type of roofing
yes.
at Parkway?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the roofs that the nature of those foam roofs have changed. So some of the warranties that we have on the roofs that haven't yet been recoated or in areas where they haven't yet been recoated or shorter than the 10 to 12 year range. So the newer generation of the foam roofs, they're going out with a 15-year warranty on them.
It's the black foam, not the white foam?
The black foam is the old.
All right. Okay.
And then as you walk through our buildings, if you can see the roofs where it's lighter, those are the newer, white and gray.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
I just have one question, Rich. Fern Place replaced 20% of the interior doors.
Yes.
Given discussions that we've had. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to find the slide it's on, and I know it's here because I put it there.
Just replacing 20%, not more than that. Or not less than that.
Thank you. Who's telling me it's on the last slide?
Yeah,
that is what was budgeted for in the bond.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you very much.
Can I just one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
To Ms. Hershkowitz, if we find that there's a way we can get a few more doors done within budget, we'll do that. So it's not like we'll just stop at 20%, but we do go through the buildings with the architects, identify the ones with the most need. If we can get them done, you know, at a number less than we had anticipated, and we see a need, we'll you know, it doesn't have to stop at 20%. We also manage the budget as well.
Thank you.
Just one last question. Projects not yet submitted and projects submitted, they both have Pasadena and Old Beth, the AC and the gym on it. So I just didn't know if there was just a discrepancy as to which one. Once it's, I think, Pasadena and Stratford, and once it's Pasadena and Old Beth, so maybe one was maybe Parkway. I just wanted to see which one was submitted and which one wasn't.
Okay, I'm going to have to go back and correct that one way or the other.
Okay, cool.
Okay, thank you very much. We certainly have had a lot of work in the past year, and I think our buildings are really showing how well everything looks and is being used. We're going to take out of order the audit report because we're waiting for our auditor to arrive. So we are going to go on to public participation. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could in some way be violated. We thank you in advance for being respectful of all speakers and staff members. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. The floor is open.
Good evening. Jacques Wolfner, 151 Sutton Drive, Plainview. To Mr. Cunningham's observations, I happened to be walking by the Parkway School, and I noticed that there were a number of the panels that were marked as being bad. Now, maybe 10% of those panels, those I presume are going to be replaced. And is that similar to the experience we have on other window walls?
I'd have to go out there and look at what you're looking at as well. You know, we have a few things that we're seeing. First, we particularly in the front of the buildings, between the time that the project was designed and the project was built, we had some circumstances where the air conditioners were installed changed. Mm-hmm. So you'll see that there's some places where there are panels, white panels, not clear glass, where we probably should have had clear glass because the builder was thinking that's where we were going to pop in an air conditioner. So our plan is to pop those panels out where it looks like there should be glass, but there's a white panel and put in glass.
What I'm talking about are panels on the bottom that were probably damaged during transit. Or
mm-hmm. So I'd have to get back to you on that.
Okay. And if I can jump ahead to the auditor's report, I noticed the total fund balance of $33 million for the general fund. It's a little confusing because when we do budgets, we talk about a fund balance of 3 or 4% of the total budget.
Mm-hmm.
I think we ought to amend our language on the budget presentation because I'm sure that the auditors have justification for calling it fund balance, and it's a little confusing when you see a fund balance of $33 million when we're used to seeing $2 or $3 million.
Well, the total fund balance figure is a combination of the undesignated fund balance, the 4% you're referring to, and also restricted fund balance, the amount that's in reserves. So they're using the auditor speak, which Ms. Van Dyne will address when she's here to do the presentation.
Well, perhaps we ought to change the language on our budget presentation to reflect the difference, unallocated or unallocated fund balance would probably be clearer.
Okay, we'll consider that.
Thank you.
He's right.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Well, seeing no other speakers, public participation is closed.
I'll shut it off.
Can I get a motion for routine business? Separation. Okay, all those in favor of routine business? Thank you. Okay, we're going to go on to new business. Can I get a motion to adopt the board goals for the 2016-2017 school year? Susan, Mel, any hold separations? All those in favor? Can I get a motion on parent ENL classes? Warren? Ginger? ENL stands for English as a New Language. So these are classes that are provided to parents. They're 6 1-hour parent classes. And one 2-hour class of Rosetta Stone for ENL parents. All those in favor? Thank you. Can I get a motion that the Board of Education approves field trips for POB JFK High School, POB JFK Research Department, H.B. Matlin Middle School, and the Music Department? Susan, a second. Rennell, all those in favor? Okay.
Do you want to recognize that the retirement, 21?
I'm trying to find her. She's coming from Oyster Bay.
Even though we're not recognizing.
You're not named, right, not the names, but you're going to recognize that you did it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What
did we So we have a new contract, and in that contract was a retirement incentive that required teachers to identify their wish to retire by June 30th. And tonight we accepted retirements from some of the teachers. We will announce those names or have those names on the minutes of the next meeting. But at this point, we would like to honor their privacy so that they can make their announcements in a timely manner to other their colleagues and their administrators.
But we will be recognizing them.
At the end of the year we will. But this is just in recognition. It's an unusual time of year because we had a retirement incentive that would require us to do that so we can prepare a budget in November that reflects the retirements.
Thank you. Okay, well, we're going to just have a few minutes until our audience is here again. I thought it was 8:30. Rich, do you
She was shooting to get here at 8:15. I'm trying to contact her right now. She was coming from another school district. She's not answering me, so I'm hopeful she's driving and not presenting. But I don't know where she is, if she's in transit or still at the other school district. Evaluation to
easier.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm glad that everybody was still here. I had another board meeting. I just got, it was at Oyster Bay, so I'm glad I caught you. I was in shock. I'm very impressed. That's a very efficient meeting. Is there a game or something on that somebody wants to get to? Could be. All right. Well, I am just going to give you an overview of the audit. We actually met last week with the audit committee. As you know, is made up of board members as well as community members. So we went in depth with the two audits, with the big document, the financial statement audit, as well as the extra classroom audit, and also the management letter. So what I did was I prepared a PowerPoint just to give you an overview of what we spoke about, and if you have any specific questions, you should have in your packet, or I know now everybody has everything electronic, you have on your laptops a copy of the audit report and also my PowerPoint. So I'm just going to start off with a review of the audit. I wanted to thank Rich, and I don't know, is Jen in the audience or she's not here tonight? Okay, Rich and Jen worked with our audit team, and the audit went very smoothly. They had all the information ready that we needed, so thank you. This is your first full year as, right, both of you started, I think, in the middle of the audit last year. So this is their first full year with us. So in essence, the two audits, you received an unmodified opinion, which is the best opinion you could get as a school district. With regards to your internal controls, we do look at your internal controls. There was no material weaknesses that we found in your internal controls. You actually have very strong internal controls. However, as you know, we always try to make recommendations over and above what you already have in place. So we did issue a management letter, which I'm going to touch on in a little bit. But for the most part, we were very comfortable with the controls that you do have in place. As I said, the business office was very cooperative during the whole audit. Everything went very smoothly, so that was good to see. The management letter, which is what we call other matters, is what we issue, and this is some of the areas that we did have some recommendations on. And I know Rich Cunningham has already done a corrective action plan and has already started implementing the recommendations. So, your district always takes our recommendations seriously, which is really great to see. We actually included in the management letter your prior year recommendations, and every single one of our recommendations from the prior year was implemented. So that's something that shows that the district really wants to do the right thing and really, takes the recommendations seriously. So they were all implemented from last year, and then we had a few recommendations for this year. This is an overview of the governmental funds, the fund balance last year versus this year, and this is part of the audit report, but it is a slide that really captures the financials for this year versus last year, so I figured that's something I wanted to talk about. Essentially, your fund balance did go down this year in the general fund. And the primary reason for that was, as you know, you did get voter approval to spend your capital reserve this year. So what we do is we break down your restricted fund balances, which is actually your reserves. Then we have your assigned fund balance, which is what you designate for taxes. And then we have assigned unappropriated, which is really your purchase orders that you carry over for the next year. And then the last caption is your unassigned. So this is how your fund balance breaks down at the end of the year. So really, essentially, if you look, the unemployment insurance reserve, that's really a reserve because you are self-funded for unemployment. So if you had to pay out unemployment, this is what you would use the money for. This is, all these reserves are specifically restricted for that specific purpose. So with regards to unemployment, it did increase from last year because these are all board-approved reserves. The only one that is not board approval is the capital reserve and the repair reserve. That you have to get voter approval. So the unemployment reserve went up this year with funding, which was board approved, as well as we allocate interest to all the reserves. We're required to allocate interest to all your reserves, so every year your reserves will go up for interest. So this year the board approved $525,000 in funding of this reserve, and also the allocation of the interest of $2,800 really accounted for the change from last year. The next reserve is your employee benefit accrued liability reserve. This is your compensated absences reserve. So basically, if you have employees, when they retire, you're required to pay their vacation and their sick time. So the monies that are earmarked here is for those payments so that you don't have to include it in your budget. You'll be able to use these monies to pay out when employees leave the district. So this year you did fund that reserve $670,000, plus you appropriated interest or allocated interest of $18,000. The next reserve is the retirement contribution reserve. As of now, you're only allowed to fund for the employee retirement system, not the teacher's retirement system. However, I just got an email a couple of weeks ago that they are getting very close to establishing a teacher's retirement system reserve, or have one reserve that you'll use for both ERS and TRS. So it seems like it's been lingering for many, many years, and it seems like this year it is getting very close. So we're hopeful that for the upcoming year that they will create the TRS reserve, which, as you know, is the largest expense as out of the two for the school district. So that'll help you so you don't have to hit the budget. You'll be able to set monies aside for that. The restricted for capital, as you know, that's all voter approved. You get voter approval to fund, you get voter approval to spend. This year, you got voter approval to spend $5.4 million out of your capital reserve on capital projects. You did also fund that reserve $190,000, and then you allocated interest of $13,000. So that accounted for the change. And like I said, that was really the big change in the total fund balance, was really in your capital reserve. That did go down $5.2 million from last year. Restricted for repairs, you did actually fund some money into that reserve as well as allocate interest. You funded $70,000 and allocated $2,000. You now have voter approval for up to $1 million in that reserve, so you're almost close to the maximum that you could put into that reserve. The next category is your assigned designated for taxes. As you know, that's what you put in next year's budget, and that's a revenue source in your next year's budget. So that's the money you're giving back to the taxpayers. The assigned unappropriated, these are all your open purchase orders, and then you have your unassigned, which is the balance that's left over, which is slightly over what it was last year. You were at $5.8 million, and now you're at $6 million. So that went up about 4% from last year. Okay, so that summarizes the general fund. The other two funds that you have, governmental funds, the school lunch fund. The school lunch fund this year actually did have a profit. So you had a profit of $36,000 profit in your school lunch fund, and you also had a subsidy of $10,000 from the general fund. So that accounted for the $46,000 change from last year. So right now your fund balance is at 2 months of expenses. You're restricted to 3 months of expenses, which, so you're about where you should be with regards to the school lunch program. Debt service fund is restricted, and basically that is where you have your interest income for debt service, and you also transfer money from that fund to fund any debt service payments. So this year you had interest income, and you also did an interfund transfer to send to general fund for your debt service. So that accounted for the $27,000. Capital projects fund, this is the fund where you pay your bills for all the capital projects that are going on at the district. So as you know, that you've been doing a lot more capital projects between the capital reserve and the bonds. So we break it out into three different categories. You have your restricted category, which is the projects that are funded by your capital reserve money. So right now you have $8.9 million left for any projects that you funded with capital reserves. Then you have restricted for unspent bond proceeds. That's projects that were funded with bonds. You have $670,000 left for those projects. And then you have an unassigned, which is a negative $1.1 million. The reason you have a negative there is because you're waiting for your bond proceeds. Once you get your bond proceeds this year, then that negative will go away and your restricted for unspent bond proceeds will increase. Okay, so that's the reason why there's a negative there, which is normal. It's just a timing difference between when you receive your bond monies. Okay, so all in all, the total funds changed for all of the governmental funds that went down $2.3 million from last year. The next few slides really just talk about everything that I just said, so I'm not going to go through it again, but this kind of explains the changes in all the different funds. One of the things that we like to look at is your financial position and the current ratio. This year, the district is at 2.64 to 1, which is your current assets over your current liabilities. So you're right where the state average is. The state average is 2.65, so you're right where the average should be. So, you know, all in all, I feel that the financial position is in a good shape. Okay, and then these are really the reasons why you want to have a strong financial health, really, and why your district does, is really due to continued leadership of the board administration. You also do cost-effective purchasing. You use a lot of BOCES bids. You state contracts. So by doing that, you are saving money on the expense side of your budget. You use BOCES as much as you can. Commitment to funding reserves. Improving curriculum and community support. Why is this so important? Well, it helps you with your tax levy. So you know, if you have a strong balance sheet, it'll make it easier when you have with the tax cap rules to have a strong balance sheet to utilize the funds that you do have in the district to help you with the tax levy, which this year is probably close to zero. I think it's getting lower and lower every year. So districts that have a strong position are in a better shape when it comes to budgets in the future. Cash flow, it helps you with cash flow, reduces borrowing, interest costs, improves your credit rating. Also, it helps fund unbudgeted contingent expenses or any state aid shortfalls, and it preserves the programs so that you have the opportunities for the students that you want to have, and that's the bottom line. You want to continue your programs, and having strong financial health will assist you down the road for that. Okay, so that's my overview of the financials and the audit.
Anybody have any questions? I'd like to thank you very much for this report, and I'd really like to thank Rich and our business team for this amazingly good audit report, and this is what supports everything we do here. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much. Okay. Are we having public participation again? Do you want to, Rich? We have public participation again. Okay. Then we will open public participation again, only related to the budget. District policy number 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall one state their name and address and two indicate on whose behalf they are speaking. If a non-resident, the policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could in some way be violated. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. The floor is open. Okay, well, seeing none, the floor is now closed. Can I get a motion to go into exec session for matters of negotiation? Ronell, second. Jody, all in favor? Thank you all very much. Have a safe trip home.